You're listening to Big Cast, your source for financial technology innovation with John Best.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Big Cast. My name is Glenn Sarvati on behalf of Best Innovation Group, where we like to do cool things with technology for credit unions, banks, fintech companies, and we talk about it here with new content here on the Big Cast every Tuesday. Please do check in regularly, subscribe to the podcast where you get your podcasts, or you can always find us at big-fintech.com. Where we also have a lot of other information about the company. Please do take a look over there. My handle on Twitter, I am part of 154 Advisors, and that's at 154 Advisors. John Best, our grand poobah here, can be found at JB Fintech, and the company overall at Big Fintech on Twitter. So check us out. I am particularly interested about this. I'm particularly excited about this week's episode because I think we're actually responding in real time a little bit more than usual, and I didn't even mean that to be a pun, but I just realized that it was, because anybody who's close to the payment space knows that one of the biggest stories over the course of the last couple of weeks has been the Federal Reserve's entry into the real-time payment space. They've announced their own set of rails to affect real-time payments. They will be called FedNow. They will not be launching until late 2023 or early 2024. There's been a lot of talk and speculation about them entering this market for some time, but now that's finally been a little more clarified. We don't have all the details yet. What particularly makes this interesting is that a new set of payment rails for real-time processing was just launched in late 2018, November to be precise, by the Clearinghouse. Their system is very creatively called RTP, the initials for real-time payments, which may cause a bit of confusion when you're talking about it's not a generic product per se, because you have a separate solution being offered into the market by FedNow. The banking industry overall is, of course, founded on the whole notion of trust. The trust relationship between banks, credit unions, and their customers slash members is obviously central to the value proposition. And I think trust actually comes into this one as well, because the Clearinghouse, as you probably know, is a consortium owned by 20, depending on how you count, I believe Peter's going to tell us 25 of the largest banks in the U.S., some of the smaller banks, both community banks and credit unions, have shown some discomfort of having to rely on their competitors and their largest competitors for such a critical piece of infrastructure. They've been encouraging the Fed to enter the system. The Fed's now done that. We're getting some blowback in other areas, both because of the speed by which they will do it and potentially the confusion and the delay in the market that will cause. Having said all that, I reached out to Peter Davey, who is the head of innovation for the Clearinghouse, and asked him if he'd be willing to speak. And much to my pleasant surprise, he was willing to come onto the conversation, join the conversation here on the Big Cast, and share their thoughts with us. I guess I shouldn't be that surprised, because the Clearinghouse has been very forthright and open across the way. I've seen Peter, we've known each other for some time, but I've seen him at several events on the stage, both speaking in a presentation form and in a panel discussion form. They have not shied away from these conversations. So I think it's great for us to get a chance to talk to Peter on a immediate basis just after the announcement from the Fed and hear their latest reactions. And then that led to another conversation, and we'll have a second interview after that with Keith Riddle, who's the CEO of Sherpa Technologies, a company working on digital transformation and helping credit unions down that path to reach, and they're one of the ones who will enable credit unions onto the RTP and the real-time payment system more broadly. So I think we got some great, real, relevant content in the here and now this week. Getting right back to that in just a second. First, and this is one that I think is kind of a promotional announcement, quote unquote, but also just a really interesting topic. Voice technology, obviously a very interesting development and top-of-mind issue in the financial institution space right now with voice banking and whatnot. And you probably know that the Best Innovation Group offers one of those solutions with their Five platform. One of the things that, if you remember back to the days, the early days of the internet, the land grab that went on around domain names, and trolls going out and capturing some of the good real estate and trying to find a clearance for a URL for a relatively generic and simple sounding name, can be pretty challenging these days. Think about the fact that we may be running into a similar situation as we try to stake out our turf for Siri and Google and everybody else to actually activate based on the keywords that we're going to want to be able to have people find us by our financial institution names and whatnot. So this is another place where institutions probably want to be thinking about protecting their rights and getting the reservation out there for their own names. And that is exactly what the Best Innovation Group is starting to offer. They've dug into this, and this is breaking news. There's going to be a lot more detail coming up in the near future. But take a look at the website cuvoiceregistry.com. for a little more information about how this is going to happen. The actual process won't go live until early September, but we'll have much more to share about that. For now, just give that some thought and take a quick look at cuvoiceregistry.com to find out a little bit more. Another thing I just want to go back and revisit very quickly from, I guess it was 2 weeks ago, that we had a conversation around the most recent Capital One breach. With all the exposed information from applicants and whatnot. John Best and I had a direct one-on-one conversation about that on the Big Cast. And, you know, in hindsight, I was probably a little bit too soft on Paige Thompson, who was the hacker who actually exposed the information, which was, she was a former Amazon Web Services employee, had access and a very deep level of knowledge, apparently, of the Amazon cloud. And she pulled that information down and is in jail right now for having done that. Unclear yet exactly what she did with all that data. Based on the record and what we've seen, she seems to be a somewhat troubled individual that was, in my view, probably looking for attention more than anything else. And I didn't know if this was something where, you know, maybe she was doing it for the acclaim and to show that she was smart enough to do it as opposed to actually selling the information. Well, there's still not all the most, expansive of details out there, but we do know now from the most recent information that she actually had done this to about 30 other entities as well, including universities, other consumer services firms, etc. So it goes a little bit deeper than that, and she apparently had some other criminal run-ins with the law, some records of some altercations with other individuals. So I was probably a little generous in my characterization of her. It's, when you get more information, it's always good to change your mind if the fact pattern has shifted. So I think it's still evolving. Another piece of evolving news on that one, it was a breaking story just from the Wall Street Journal very recently that some whistleblowers internally are saying that their cybersecurity team had been raising red flags, particularly around some of the turnover in that shop. So one of the other things we talked about is that Capital One was about as clean as anybody had been in terms of one of these crises and handling everything right, and they still had the problem. Well, I think, you know, there's always hindsight in these things. It'll be interesting to see if a little bit more comes out, if they might have been able to do a bit more. And it does seem like they're taking responsibility. One of the other headlines here was Amazon Web Services and how much this might have been impacted by the fact that this information was out there on the cloud. It seems at this point that Capital One is acknowledging, no, it was their, you know, faulty setting of a firewall on their own side that actually allowed this data to be exposed. Enough of that. Now on to the main topic, real-time payments, RTP, as it's known in the marketplace from the clearinghouse, and of course FedNow, the new solution being launched and announced at least from the Federal Reserve. Peter Davey from the clearinghouse graciously agreed to speak with us. Let's go straight to that interview. Glenn Sarvati here, joined by Peter Davey of the Clearinghouse, who is the head of innovation for that group, which when I think about innovation, real-time payments, which is the first new set of payments rails here in the U.S. in decades, I think is safe to say, I think is pretty much a textbook definition of innovation. Thanks for taking the time to talk, Peter.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Glenn. I really appreciate the opportunity. And yeah, absolutely, RTP really represents, I think, a major innovation in the payment space in almost 40 years when you think about the last generation of payment systems, which was ACH.
Yeah, I always think ACH is the last one. I mean, it's kind of amazing.
And not to say that things haven't advanced, but they just haven't advanced in a very significant way. So I think RTP really is that opportunity. I think I would love to, Glenn, if I could just talk a little bit about the clearinghouse and our model, because I think most users are unfamiliar with sort of how we operate. Does that work?
Sure. Let me just say, I mean, obviously the reason why we've got you on, just a few little pieces of news popped up lately in the press around FedNow and the new the new solution that the Federal Reserve is launching. But yeah, that's, you know, given that the clearinghouse has been in market with RTP now since late 2017, I think it's a great time to catch up. Please, yeah, tell us a little bit for the uninitiated how the clearinghouse is structured and your mission and all that good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So the clearinghouse, I think most people understand, is owned privately by the top 24 financial institutions in the U.S. And what that really means is that, you know, we operate a real-time clearing and settlement, an ACH system, a check image system, and a wire system or a high-value payment system. And our core mission as a clearinghouse is to run those at a low-cost, secure, and efficient way for the entire industry. So although we're owned by 24 financial institutions, the services that we provide are actually for every financial institution in the U.S. that wants to take advantage of leveraging the clearinghouse. We operate as a private sector alternative to the Federal Reserve where it concerns clearing and settling payments. And we do that to the tune of around $2 trillion a day for the U.S. economy. So pretty significant when you think about, you know, the role that we play. Our owners don't get dividends from the clearinghouse. We are a cost recovery model, and we, again, trying to drive and run low-cost, efficient payment systems for the U.S. And we do that in many different ways. As I think most people know, we are interoperable with the Federal Reserve as it concerns ACH clearing and settlement. However, all of the other systems are independent and are sort of single-sided, if you will, much like the Fed's is when you're dealing on their networks as well.
But as far as ACH, and as you say, across the board on your products, I think a key is, although you are owned by the 24 largest banks, your products are available across the board, ubiquitous?
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, we have a couple hundred financial institutions that leverage us outside of our ownership in our other products today. You know, obviously with RTP and even to date, even with the FedNow announcement, still the only operator of a real-time payment system in the U.S., our goal is to connect every financial institution to RTP because we think there is benefit for every financial institution in the U.S.
And I know you originally set a deadline, or not a deadline, but a rather aggressive goal of reaching that ubiquity by 2020. Which is a tall order when you're talking about 10,000 institutions in the U.S. But as you say, it's a unique set of rails and an important capability for us to have in this marketplace. You also mentioned, as I recall, correct me if I'm wrong, the 24 owner banks effectively are about half of the accounts in the U.S., just, you know, based on the concentration of them, the largest banks. You pretty much have coverage of the top half or so.
Yeah, the 24 banks represent over half of the U.S. depository accounts. But obviously, a network is only as good as its participants. And being able to support every financial institution on it is really our end goal. We have 16 financial institutions that are live on the network today. And those 16 financial institutions make up around 51% of the entire deposit base for the U.S.
Ah, so just those 16. Yeah. So you'll go above that when you get to the 24. I didn't realize that. Interesting.
We will. The problem is when you look at financial institutions, the addition of one or two more financial institutions really doesn't significantly add a percentage point there.
The long tail.
Yeah, long, long tail. You're talking about having to add 10 to 20 to make up a few percentage points. And then as you get down into the smaller financial institutions, potentially hundreds to be able to make up a few more percentage points. So it is a long tail. And to your point earlier, you know, we were fairly aggressive in saying to the market that we felt that we could actually onboard the majority of the U.S. by the end of 2020. And at the time in which we did that in 2018, we had been working with the core providers. They've moved a little bit slower than we had expected in helping to onboard folks, although they are moving forward. And then what we've also realized is that because of the type of transformation that real-time payments takes, it took even the banks who tried to come on earlier a little bit longer to connect into the network. And it's not the feasibility of connecting into the network. It's all of the back-end processes and systems that have to be changed to be able to operate in real time. Because, frankly, we haven't been operating in a real-time environment until now. In fact, I think this weekend I was listening to Chris Skinner, and he said one of the biggest challenges with financial institutions to date is that we were all built for the Industrial Revolution. And I think that's a very true statement when you think about where we're coming from and where we need to go to.
Well, I remember also we've had Steve Ledford from the Clearinghouse on the show before, and I know that the model that you've really used rolling this out is, you know, you're providing the back office rails, but it's really up to the financial institutions to decide the best use cases for the marketplace. So you've got the capability, but it's also a matter of leaving it to the innovation and imagination of the marketplace to figure out how this technology and capability can best be leveraged, right?
Yeah, and that's where my job becomes really fun. Because we have been able to sit down with financial institutions of all sizes. We've been able to sit down with end customers, corporates, consumers, and start to envision how you can leverage these rails to be used in a much better way and more significantly than some of the other payment systems that are out there today. And I do have to tell you, I think there's some really cool things coming down the road in terms of bill pay, some of the interconnectivity with B2B, and then even upgrading some of the existing consumer products like A2A and P2P. I think there's a really good opportunity for all of the parties involved in those transactions to benefit from the use of the real-time payment rails.
Now, a couple of things you just mentioned there. B2B, my understanding, at least in the early days, you know, the volumes that were going through RTP were heavily B2B oriented, tended to be larger ticket sizes, because that's, I think, where the first use cases were. It was the value was particularly noticeable, especially finality of payment and certainty of payment. Is that correct? And is that still the case, or are things kind of starting to shift more toward the retail side of the payment space?
So they're starting to shift a little bit toward the retail side, but I think you're absolutely correct that B2B had been a pretty big focus. And when you think about where and how financial institutions are organized, the majority of financial institutions have a little bit, especially on the larger side, a little bit more control over their commercial banking environments than they do the real retail environments. They're highly dependent on many different vendors to supply the front-end solutions for retail payments. So in many cases, a lot of financial institutions who don't control that themselves are waiting for their vendors to start upgrading the technology to be able to take advantage of it. However, those who do own some of those components, we've already seen some significant progress in account-to-account transfers on the consumer side. Think about something that could be highly beneficial to a consumer at the end of the day, being able to see their money move in real time between their bank accounts at different banks. And we have some financial institutions who are focused in on enabling those today. We're working with Zelle to enable Zelle on top of RTP. And then obviously we're working on the bill pay side to connect consumers to billers to be able to affect payments in real time as well.
Yeah, particularly interesting. I've heard Zelle talk about that publicly, that's one of their visions in terms of getting to the real-time space. And that obviously will move things much, much more toward the retail side. Well, with that in mind, a couple of things. So it was just a week ago that the Fed's announced, although I think it's been rumored and obviously under consideration for a long time, that the Fed is going forward with their FedNow solution, although it will not be available in their projecting public availability in late 2013 or 2014, which is obviously some time. One of the big concerns was that if you're waiting for another potential solution, that could obviously delay the market further as people try to assess and understand their various options. I know, obviously, you're probably, I don't want to put words in your mouth, probably a little disappointed by their decision, but any change in plans from the Clearinghouse's standpoint with regard to this new development in the landscape?
So no change in plans for us. Obviously, our goal has been the entire time to make this available to every financial institution in the U.S. We're continuing to move forward aggressively with those plans. I think the Federal Reserve's entry into this market just continues to highlight to every financial institution in the country how important this strategy is and how much they need to be able to move around a real-time payment system. So in general, I think it helps out a little bit because it kind of takes away the air of sort of waiting, if you will, for what's going to happen. And I think at the end of the day, the big thing for us is, we are here in market. We're already providing services. You've seen a few of the banks that have announced that are smaller that are coming on. Funny thing enough, not every bank who is actually connecting to us is announced. And there's a lot more that I think are coming in the next couple quarters. And I think it'll help to move things forward. But like anything, it's going to be the use cases that drive people to want to leverage this network. And I think 2020 for me is the year of RTP. You're going to start to see people roll out new products and services, new use cases. We're going to have more banks connected to the network. And I think it's going to start to flourish for the entire U.S. economy.
Any thoughts that we may be getting ahead of ourselves a bit here, but a couple of the comments that I saw that came out to the Fed when they had their request for comment out to the market, and I think they have another one open now where I think you're going to hear the same points reiterated, that I think everyone would seem to agree that interoperability between these two systems, as it exists today with the ACH networks that you both operate in parallel, is going to be critical, as well as the ability to have the service providers, the core, you know, processors and whatnot, have that capability. Because again, if you're going to push this out to 10,000 financial institutions, most of them are going to be connecting through their core providers. Any thoughts on both the interoperability aspect? And obviously you've said you're already working closely with those providers to get them enabled.
Yes, I think interoperability is an interesting topic. You know, we know by talking with other countries and by seeing the way it's been done, it's very difficult for two operators to interoperate in a real-time environment. But it doesn't mean that we're not open to having those discussions and trying to drive the best outcomes for the U.S. economy. You know, reality is we'll have to see what the uptick is on FedNow when it does come available and people start to connect to it. But I think the interesting thing is, regardless of whether it's RTP or potentially FedNow when that's available, the banks have to make the same journey. There's no difference between, you know, what you'd really have to do to connect us and potentially any other real-time payment system. There's a lot of things in the back office, a lot of processes that need to start looking at changing. There's a lot of things around fraud that you would need to change. So I think, you know, what I would tell most financial institutions out there, and when I talk to them on a fairly regular basis, I say, you know, now's the time to prepare, regardless of whether you go on to RTP or you wait for the Fed. You still have to go through the same process to be able to take advantage of real-time payment systems. So, you know, interoperability, we'll have to see how we can make that thing work. You know, I think for the clearinghouse's perspective, we are committed to assisting every financial institution.
And I assume that same argument applies to the core providers, the software providers, that they're presumably going to wind up being agnostic and needing to support both so they can give the choice to their bank customers. And you're continuing to work with them, obviously, as well.
Yeah, I think potentially, I mean, based on the limited amount of information that was available in the Fed's request for comment, their system looks to be modeled very similarly after the RTP system, just based on an initial read. So I think if that's the case, and if that continues to be the case, the hope is for the core providers, it's the same level of effort that they would have anyway. And, you know, in reality, most of these core providers are connected to the clearinghouse already. They're already connected to the Fed on behalf of their customer base. So it hopefully won't be a huge extra level of effort for them. But again, until we actually see the details of what the Fed's true system is going to look like, it's hard to really be able to tell anything.
I think you've mentioned already that there are more banks in the process of implementing RTP than have publicly announced, but I do know I've seen at least a couple who have been forward enough to actually write opinion pieces in the trade press that are outside your ownership base who have already committed. Is anybody actually live outside your ownership base, the 16? Are they all owner members right now, or is it really more a matter that they've committed to go live?
So there are active projects by over 25 different financial institutions that are kind of outside of our member base. And additionally, some of the first core providers are going to start to bring up some of their customers that are connected through the core provider as well over the next two quarters. So a lot of the announcements, I think there's a lot of forward-thinking banks that really want to get ahead of this and start having active conversations with their customers because they have a true vision for the products and services that they're going to offer out. A lot of the other banks who haven't announced yet, they obviously want to be able to get the technology project underneath them, have some surety as to when they're going to release some of these capabilities, and then from there announce out to the marketplace so that the customers don't get in front of them. So I think it's different strategies for different folks, and that's just kind of the way it'll be. But we've got a really good pipeline going through the next couple of quarters and a lot of active projects. In fact, one of the interesting things to me has been more banks have wanted to come and connect to us directly than connecting through a core provider. And that's also been an interesting thing because I think a lot more banks are trying to take control of their own technology on the back end.
That is surprising. I'm assuming that kind of shades toward at least, you know, the larger banks, larger being, you know, $5 billion or higher. I'm assuming that the smaller ones will almost certainly go through their providers.
Yeah, and you know, that was our assumption too, but we've had a couple of $1 to $5 billion that have come directly to us. And you know, I think that's I think the reality of the situation is it really depends on the technical sophistication of the bank and sort of what they want to do. And certainly we will accommodate as well as we can for anybody who wants to connect directly to us or through their provider. And that's the reason we're working all of those different angles.
Now, I think I've seen, obviously, we have a heavy credit union listenership to this podcast. I believe I've seen at least one credit union that has publicly announced that they're working with RTP. Can you say any more about the numbers on the credit union side?
Yeah, so we have, I think, Sherpa Technologies, which is out of a CISO, has been working with us on connecting in and developing products for their CUSO. There are a couple of other ones that I don't think I've announced publicly yet, but should be announcing soon that will be coming forward. I know that we have a number of community banks that have driven forward and announced, but there definitely are some credit unions that are very interested and have been working on projects to connect into us.
And I do know Sherpa Technologies spoke to them at our AXFI conference earlier in June. I'll double back with them as well. Actually, it may be an interesting conversation to have with them too. And I think you made a point that I hadn't really considered before in terms of interoperability. So I find that it's intriguing that, as you say, you know, interoperability is great, but it's a lot more complex in a real-time world than it is presumably in a batch world with ACH. So you do see that that's you're open to it, but it's potentially a bit of a challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think our commitment is we want to continue to open up conversations where we can. Our goal is to drive RTP technology through the use of the clearinghouse's system to every bank. But certainly, you know, if there's a desire for interoperability by both the Fed and other financial institutions, it is something that we will make sure that we work on. But, you know, I think the bigger thing I'd say out there is it is a challenge and it is something that needs to start early and not something that can necessarily wait till after the Fed launches their product.
Absolutely. I mean, anybody, and, you know, just, you know, in terms of staying on top of the marketplace, I mean, you've got your largest, you know, the largest competitors, you know, the largest banks in the country have access to this now. So you're not going to want to be behind the eight ball with having an inability to service your customers with these types of capabilities. Yeah, because nothing stays top of the headlines for long. It's been a whole, whopping week or so before we spoke that the Fed made this announcement. We've now got the news that MasterCard has acquired Nets at a $3 billion acquisition, which again moves them further into faster payments. Visa Direct and Nacha in various ways kind of play in this space too. How do you compare contrast those? Do you see this as just kind of a broader wave toward faster payments, or how do you kind of put the whole picture together in the landscape?
Yeah, so it's interesting. I think with MasterCard, what you're seeing from them, and Ajay has said this publicly, they really are moving into beyond card. And I think their Nets acquisition, along with their VocaLink acquisition, which they purchased a couple years ago, really shows that they are starting to move, especially into geographies that haven't had great traction with card payments or have actually moved away from card payments into account-to-account transfers. So I think, you know, for me, the Nets purchase kind of seems more like something where they're like, hey, we are doing really well in account-based transfers in other countries. Let's go ahead and keep that momentum. Obviously, Visa stayed fairly focused in on card-based payments. So it's going to be interesting to see kind of how Visa and MasterCard compare and contrast in the next 5 to 10 years. I think as the majority of the world, if you look at the data, has been moving more toward account-based transfers or bank-based transfers as opposed to card-based transfers. The U.S. is very different in that aspect.
I think that's a great point. I've seen the same thing. There's clearly a merging of the rails or a blurring of the lines. I mean, you really can't think of things as just card versus, you know, check or debit and things like that. So, yeah, I think that makes a ton of sense. Well, Peter, it's always a pleasure. If anybody wants to find out more, I know and I follow you. You're the Payments Jedi on Twitter. If anybody wants to find out more about both yourself and the Clearinghouse, what's the best way to get in touch, learn more about RTP?
Well, our website, one of the things that we've committed to is complete transparency. So our website is full of information. Theclearinghouse.org/RTP has everything that you would need from a resource perspective. You can feel free to reach out to me directly, either through LinkedIn or through Twitter at Payments Jedi. And then anybody else on the RTP team that you see out around the industry, we're all highly approachable and we're all willing to talk to you. So feel free to reach out, and we look forward to carrying on the conversation.
And I know you guys have been great. I've seen you on the podium a few times in panel discussions, and you don't shy away from these conversations, keep the lines of communication flowing, and just like you've had with us today, and I really appreciate it. Peter Davey, Head of Innovation for the Clearinghouse, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks, Glenn. Appreciate it.
So again, thanks so much to Peter Davey for taking the time. Interesting stuff. The early stages of what's certain to be a long trail in terms of how this plays out. But it's something that, regardless of what credit unions, community banks, et cetera, intend to do in the long run, it's clearly something that they need to be thinking about. Speaking of real time, as I was having that conversation with Peter, he mentioned the name Sherpa Technologies, and that just kind of tripped a trigger in my head and said, okay, well, this is an interesting other twist that we can take to this conversation. I've seen Sherpa Technologies at some industry events. They were at the AXFI conference that was co-sponsored by the Best Innovation Group earlier this summer in Minneapolis. And they are offering a solution not only for digital transformation of credit unions, but very explicitly to help credit unions get onboarded onto RTP. So what better opportunity, again, with the new information out here in the marketplace, to catch up with their CEO, Keith Riddle. So here's a conversation with Keith. Glenn Cervati here with Keith Riddle of Sherpa Technologies. And after speaking with Peter Davey of the Clearinghouse, he mentioned that Sherpa is heavily involved with the credit union side of bringing credit unions on board on their RTP system. And Keith and I have spoken at a couple of recent events, and it's a perfect opportunity to catch up there. Thanks for taking the time on relatively short notice here, Keith.
Glenn, thanks for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about what we're doing and helping to enable real-time payments for credit unions.
So just for context, Sherpa Technologies is the QSO arm owned by Corporate One, correct? That was a spinoff, effectively, of some of the operations of Corporate One?
That's correct. It was by design. We had our own division within Corporate One that was dedicated to digital transformation, payments transformation, innovation. And that became such a driving need within the credit union industry that we actually separated that group into the QSO that I lead and is wholly owned and funded by Corporate One. So I have a lot of credit union interest and participation at various levels, but we're wholly owned by Corporate One.
And, you know, I keep learning more about this as we get into it, just as we were chatting before this. As of just this week, you are now the chair of the advisory committee for RTP for the Clearinghouse as well. So obviously well positioned to opine here.
Yes, it's been a great opportunity to have knowledge transfer from the experts at the Clearinghouse and about the real-time payments movement and interaction not only with that advisory committee, but I sit on the business committee as part of the Clearinghouse and expansion of having community financial institutions sit on the business committee. So great opportunity to learn the movement of real-time payments and data exchange and the opportunities for credit unions.
And also kind of reinforcing Clearinghouse's message of an open tent, bringing credit union involvement that close to the advisory and actually chairing the advisory committee.
So, the FIs are well represented in their other larger credit unions or other credit unions on that advisory committee as well.
Now, Sherpa's broad mission is around digital transformation. Can you just talk a bit about how you see real-time payments fitting into that mission, particularly, obviously, for credit unions? I think that the early stage adopters, given that the owner bank are all banks, the owners of the Clearinghouse have been the early adopters. How do you see digital transformation lining up for credit unions with regard to RTP?
Yeah, and I think if there was one item that maybe even the Clearinghouse would want to rename instead of real-time payments, I see it as a real-time experience framework. So with consumers, as part of the digital transformation effort, many credit unions are reviewing fintech solutions and how they've simplified that and brought immediacy into that experience. And the immediacy that can be actually infused into the credit union's experiences, whether they're opening a new account or they're dispersing loans or they're making a payment associated with an external account or internal account that they're pushing to an external payee, is all part of the real-time payments network where the data and the money movement are coupled and allow for that free-flowing data information, the confirmation, transparency, and the immediacy with the settlement and reconciliation. So we try to talk about where do you want to infuse real-time data and money movement and enhance the overall experience so that you can be in a position to leverage that for more contextual purposes as this as this framework continues to evolve. So that's something we're trying to position. And as part of their digital transformation strategy, their data analytics transformation strategy, and certainly payments transformation.
How well do you think that's understood? I mean, it's one thing to sell it to the credit unions, and then the credit unions need to actually make that real in terms of products and services for their members. Do you think the members have a need that they're clamoring for right now, or is it more a matter of getting them to appreciate what this could mean to them on a day-to-day, convenience kind of basis?
I think members, as consumers, want immediacy in every experience in which they, especially digital experiences that they have with either a biller, any type of merchant, and certainly from their financial institution. So the credit unions have to contrast their experiences against those other broader impact experiences that members are encountering every day. So what we, again, try to do is to say these are things that you can certainly build toward, and you need to look at the use cases you think most resonate with your members. For some, it may mean that if I can disperse a loan in real time to a auto dealer and have that confirmation because I'm so actively involved in indirect auto lending, that's a great use case to try to focus on. But if you look at a universal case that certainly many institutions are attempting to address, it's the aspect of bill pay and bringing greater transparency and of the actual routing of the payment, of the posting of the payment, and the data that flows with that to the consumer or small business. So I think the marketplace and all of the information that we've been able to read in the studies are focusing on how can you reclaim a stake in this bill payment environment as a money movement experience that brings greater immediacy and availability to the consumer, because the consumer has gravitated to the biller direct sites for some of those messaging and notification and payment option purposes.
Got it. And you actually just answered my next question as well in terms of a couple of use cases that you see. So you laid out a couple, the bill pay and the indirect auto lending in terms of getting people remittance more quickly. The other thing in terms of branding and the naming of the product, I think that the problem with RTP is it's very straightforwardly the initials for real-time payments. And I think there's some confusion in the marketplace because I think that term RTP is almost being used like a Kleenex, just a generic term. Now, the Fed has announced that they're getting into the market. They're calling their product FedNow, which is a different thing. What do you think the FedNow announcement is? You think that's going to have much of an effect in terms of the rollout of RTP and the adoption rate of the clearinghouse product?
Well, I think it's certainly going to bring greater awareness of real-time payments, not RTP as a network, but real-time payments into the marketplace, and allow for those community financial institutions to make a determination as to how they deploy and when they deploy into that real-time payments framework. So I do not believe it's going to have an impact in terms of the broader adoption of real-time payments within the TCH network, and for the reason that if you look at, they're already at a level of 51% of the eligible checking accounts in the country can receive a payment, and that's with 16 to 17 institutions who have integrated and are in production with RTP, meaning the clearinghouse network. So I think you're going to have a continued growth in that number over the coming quarters. And if you hit a 60 or 70% availability of being able to receive a payment, and then certainly you're going to have that infused into commercial applications and then into the retail applications with bill pay and other immediate money movement solutions, I think you'll see adoption continue to grow, especially over the horizon we're talking about with the FedNow announcement, which is 3 to 4 years minimum before you're going to be able to get into a production mode and start bringing on institutions.
Yeah, that's the elephant in the room, obviously. I mean, you got RTP, which is available today. You got the FedNow solution, which they say 2023 or 2024, depending on how it plays out. Right. What would be your advice? You've got, and again, 25 of the largest banks in the country. I think 16 of them are actually live today, the clearinghouse owners. With them going forward, what would be your advice about the way credit unions spend their time thinking about this today and between now and 2023 or 24?
I think the credit unions first and foremost need to develop what is their data transformation and payments transformation strategy. What are you attempting to address, and where are the voids or deficiencies in your delivery mechanisms that need to be addressed now versus things that may be longer term type of issues to solve? And if it is, I'm trying to bring greater transparency, awareness, and immediacy into my overall money movement solutions, then those are probably going to be credit unions that act prior to some of those other network functionalities that you've mentioned that may be available. So identify your strategy. Where do you want to infuse functionality with real-time data movement and money movement? What are those use cases that can resonate with your members, both business and the consumers? And where are you seeing impact in terms of fintech? We talk a lot about the larger institutions, but in any network, larger institutions bring volume that brings scale that make it affordable for the community financial institutions to participate in a network. So that's been the foundation of networks with Visa and with MasterCard and with Star and with Pulse and other networks. And it's the same for the real-time payment network that TCH drives. So I think that credit unions need to understand this is an open framework. It's available for community financial institutions. There are already community FIs coming on board. Certainly the scale that these larger institutions bring brings validation, use cases, and testimonials to those use cases as credit unions want to evaluate them. And we are going to be that enabler that says, if you're ready to start down that path of payments transformation, that we've got a framework that plugs into that network and a lot of other services that fall within that. And then as the other networks evolve, either those that are available today or those are available in the future, then those would be availed to those credit unions that want to take advantage of it. I think it starts with the strategy, look at the use cases, and determine what is that timing to help me combat against and be competitive.
So I think you're reinforcing something that I understand. I mean, one thing with, 5,000 credit unions out there, this is a very long tail, and it's the service providers like Sherpa that are going to bring these other institutions on board. And real-time payments, RTP, is only one of many services in digital transformation that Sherpa is offering, correct?
That's correct. So we focused on a variety of user experiences that can be delivered through fintech firms that we fully vetted and have partnered with. So whether it's digital onboarding or digital account switching or an aspect of the mortgage lending process where you want to infuse real-time functionality into that, certainly from an identity verification and KYC, we have a very unique partnership. We're bringing a firm who actually originates in Dublin, Ireland, into the U.S. So we've been very active within the fintech community. And this framework, which we call Mosaic, which is also powers the real-time payments functionality, is leveraged for all those integration aspects. So it's becoming more of a common layer that the credit unions can use to make not only the interoperability and access to real-time payments more efficient, but other services more efficient that may be using or infusing functionality associated with real-time payments.
Got it. Now, I think you started to touch on this as well. When FedNow down the road actually is available, it sounds like, well, first off, it sounds like you'll be able to support both, and that's kind of the intent as a digital transformation platform. And in addition to that question, what's your thoughts on interoperability? I know we talked a little bit about this before, and I think you had some interesting perspectives there.
Now, our thoughts on interoperability, certainly you don't want to bifurcate the market, especially when you're talking about real-time payments, because you want to be able to extend that to the broadest group of financial institutions possible. So we hope that the FedNow solution is certainly focused on interoperability and offers the functionality that aligns to the constituents that are interested in that type of approach. But with respect to Sherpa and how we'll enable that is that when that service has been fully defined and we understand all the design elements and technical and operational and what that means to the credit unions, that certainly credit unions that want to take advantage of that solution, it will be another network aspect on the back end that will work to infuse and manage and leverage manage the uniqueness of their functionality in addition to the uniqueness of the RTP functionality and blend that to make that an interoperable overlay for the credit unions.
Now, Peter had mentioned that interoperability is a little easier said than done when it comes to a real-time network, and you drew an interesting parallel to EFT. Can you say a bit about that?
Yes, I think that what you need to have within these operating guidelines and the operating rules associated with the network are going to be key things associated with how are transactions that are crossing networks settled. Is that something that's an overlay provider responsibility to reflect that liquidity management and the risk management and the settlement functionality? Are there going to be providers that align to one or either networks or both to provide that kind of overlay service? So without getting too much into the rabbit hole, there are a lot of technical aspects, reporting aspects, liquidity, settlement, and management components that come into making that interoperable between two network solutions, much like the EFT marketplace faced years ago when you have, I want to participate in Star and Pulse and Visa and whatever other networks I define as part of my network portfolio, and the processors have to stand in front and the service providers have to stand in front and enable that functionality, manage gateways and all the operational functionality that come from that.
So as you point out, I mean, it can be done, but it does take a little bit of additional effort. I know that the Fed is already looking at a liquidity management tool, even for the purposes of a single solution. So as you point out, and it's almost exponentially more difficult if you're working across two solutions.
Exactly. And the TCH RTP network has that component that's being embedded within their solution called a funding provider, a funding agent. And that's where Corporate One will act as that funding agent or provider to stand in front and manage the liquidity and the settlement risk and that management of the transactional aspect on the group of credit unions or for a group of credit unions that would want to pursue that type of service. So how do you extend that into another network? And if it isn't the same type of operational characteristics, what are the differences you need to take into account to offer interoperability? And I think those are things we're going to monitor very closely because we do believe interoperability is key.
Yep, I think, and I've seen that in all the comments that have come back on this, that I think that's almost a prerequisite as far as I think almost everybody's concerned. Obviously, a lot more to come on this topic. As you said, there's only so much we know about the actual FedNow features other than the first release that we've heard about it and the timing. But if people want to learn more about Sherpa and what you can do, Keith, what's the best way to get in touch?
Sure. Go to our website, sherpatech.org. I'm very active also on LinkedIn, and you can search on my name and find my LinkedIn profile. If you have questions, feel free to send a message to me there.
I know you're very active on Twitter as well, aren't you?
I'm very active on Twitter. I link those two. So it's @Riddle_Keith is my Twitter location or handle that if you wanted to monitor that. And we do a lot of the Twitter and social media feed within the website as well. So if you just go to the website and look under the area of learn, you'll see some of the things that we post and where we're going to be for our next conference and things we're doing along the line of fintech and engagement and a lot of educational aspects we're attempting to do.
And I see that you'll be at the CUNA Technology Council coming up as well.
Represented there, correct.
Chicago in September. So I will definitely look you guys up there. So Keith Riddle, CEO of Sherpa Technologies, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks, Glenn, for your time.
So there you have it. Thanks so much to Keith Riddle for taking the time to talk. Interesting stuff. I find the couple of key takeaways that I really thought were interesting. First off, it's clear that everyone thinks that interoperability is going to be important. Sherpa Technologies, who clearly are, you know, at this stage very nicely aligned with the clearinghouse, and to the extent of Keith actually serving as the chairman of their advisory board, still acknowledges that it's going to be up to the individual institutions. And if and when they have enough information and the capability of doing so, they intend to be able to enable both services. Almost all the comments that have come in from different players in the market that when the Fed has solicited input on this have said these solutions have to be interoperable. I thought it was interesting to hear Peter say, I think, you know, that's easier said than done in many cases. It may not be, and we have interoperability in a lot of other solutions, including the ACH, where they both play, both the Fed and the clearinghouse. But as he says, in a real-time setting, they're not, you know, opposed to it, but it may not be quite as easy. So that is another piece that's going to have to play out over time and see exactly how that works. We will continue to be watching this space closely. And we will have lots of other good, hopefully very topical information for you that I hopefully you'll find to be worth your time here on the BigCast. Check in again next week where we'll have new content. My name is Glenn Sarvati of 154 Advisors. You can find me on Twitter at 154 Advisors. You can find John Best, our grand poobah, at JB Fintech. Check out the company overall, www.big-fintech.com or at Big Fintech on Twitter. Lots of opportunities to catch up with us. I know John's going to be speaking at the CUNA Tech Council in Chicago in September. The Voice of Banking Conference, go out to the website and take a look. We've got a discount code out there and more information. John will be doing a keynote there in New York in late October. And as always, would love to hear from you. Drop a note. Let us know what you're thinking. Leave a comment on the website. Subscribe to the podcast wherever you go, Stitcher, iTunes, etc. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll see you soon.
Got a question or want to join the conversation? We'd love to hear from you. Tweet us at Big Fintech, email us at info@big-fintech.com, or visit our show notes and comments at www.bigfintechmedia.com.